gonna break it down, break it down, break it down. Gonna break it down, break it down, break it down.
What up, what up, what up? How you be? We are back. Commentary episode number 4. Quarantine week infinity. So we are here. Myself, Al, and I. We got B. B is back with us, our lovely co-host. And we even caught up with the magnificent Rashadisms. Everybody say what's up. How y'all doing?
Rashad on bail.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. We got Daryl sitting in with us again today, for sure. So don't be surprised if you hear his voice. Shout out straight out of Low Cash for
what up, y'all? I'm in the background doing this production on the back end.
Yes, sir. No Teddy Riley. No Teddy Riley.
Nope.
So I don't know. Did any of y'all got that U-City internet while we at it? Anybody got that U-City internet right now?
What's everybody the U-City?
Wait a minute. I feel attacked.
Okay. You from the planet called U City? I thought you were from the North Side.
No, I'm from University City, USA. Okay, let's be clear. The center
East
of the universe.
East you are here.
I'm not from over there.
Oh man.
But yes, I am on U City internet and it's working just fine. Okay,
there
let's
go.
Be clear.
Boom.
Nelly
we
wasn't.
Yo, Shy, what's happening, bro? Hey, me and B ran a joint a couple weeks ago, and you know, I told Shy's a hard man to catch up with during the quarantine, but that's because he hustle.
I heard the show. I was like, yeah, but I'm here now. Hey, you know,
we in the building. Yes, sir.
What better time than now? You know what I'm saying?
Than now.
Dig what I'm saying?
Yeah. So we were talking about that U City internet because one of St. Louis's own, Cornell Hayes Jr., is from U City. He went up against Ludacris in this versus battle, man. You know, that was pretty interesting to watch. We had some internet trouble, and he blamed it on the storm. I'm not here to point fingers, but you know, I don't know if storms really affect the fiber optics these days. So,
hey, it did storm today.
Yeah, I don't know, but speaking of that, I was kind of heated because Ludacris gave us such a horrible performance in John Henry. How y'all feeling about John Henry? Let's get some reviews in about John
Henry. First of all, Harlem, I told you that it was gonna change your that was gonna waste your life. Just let that be known that I did warn you.
You did, but you know, Rashad was like, "Yo, B, watch this movie," and I was like, "All right, baby."
No, he tried to make you drink the wine.
Yeah,
he baited us in.
Yeah, made me drink the Kool-Aid.
Share. Right? It's just, you know how it's just like if you eat something with something smells so bad, like God damn, smell this. Like you just gotta know somebody smelled it and was just like, "Yo, this shit stink." You know what I'm saying? But this food is horrible, so I had to get Harlem like that. Plus, she's a colorful person, man. I couldn't wait to hear her great disdain for the film.
I should have known that it was going to be trash when I saw the trailer. Like, I should have known then that it was going to be trash because what movie has Terry Crews ever been in that's been, like, real good besides White Chicks, right?
Yeah, that was a classic.
Was White Chicks real good? It was a classic. Was it good?
It was good for the – it was the Wayne. So,
what
you know,
is,
you can't mess that up.
Yeah, like, I'm with you on that.
So bad. It was like the acting was bad. Even from Ludacris, who is like actually a very good actor. It was just – it was – I want all my time back. Like, And you know, and now my son walks around with the little bitty, like the little sledgehammer thing, bangs it on the grass. It's like
for anybody that's not familiar, John Henry is a Netflix original that's running right now. So since you have nothing to do, go on Netflix.
Watch it.
John
waste
Henry.
Your time. Waste all
your time.
Of your time.
It's the John Henry challenge. Like coin it here, the John Henry challenge. How far can you get through the movie?
How far can you get?
I did too. Yeah. I thought he was dead though, but he wasn't. And it was
pretty horrible. It was bad. I just It was bad. I won't get off into it, but you know, it was just bad.
It was so bad. Have you ever saw a movie that was so bad that you stopped paying attention to it, but you were still pissed off because it was playing in the background? That's how bad.
Yeah.
It
was. Yeah. That's how bad and it was so bad that I wanted Nelly to beat Luda
just
for performing in that terrible ass movie. Like, I just was rooting for Nelly. It was like, I'm rooting for you because Luda cannot rebound from how terrible that movie was.
Yeah, right. He needed to do 9 more Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Man.
That was not it. That was, I just, ugh. Yeah, check out John Henry. Just do that. We'll talk. Let us know how you feel. Send us an email. We'll have an email here soon, I think. So, in the meantime, you can holler at us on social media about how you feel about John Henry because, it wasn't it. I'm just gonna leave it at that. You know,
hated it
in living color, and living hated it for sure. I just don't know. I don't know. Oof. Moving on.
COVID cinema.
COVID cinema. Coin phrase.
Right.
Amazon gonna steal it from you. Better watch out, bro. Right.
Can we get a check?
Yeah. So over the weekend, we were talking. How was everybody's weekend before we jump off into that? How was everybody's weekend?
A weekend full of Mondays. That's just the best way I could describe it.
We got a 3-day coming up this weekend, so
that's gonna be duh.
Yeah. Nah. For us, for those of us who are on furlough.
True that.
Okay. Every day is weekend, right?
The first for the low. It's gonna there be a bunch of Mondays, yeah. But yeah, shout out to you essential workers, you know what I'm saying? Much love.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to everybody if you're going through anything at this time, man. For real, because you know, I think we talked last week, how, you know, everybody was, I'm kind of still moving and grooving. Of course, my industry's not the same. I work in insurance, if you didn't know that, but definitely, you know, everything has been disrupted, right? So
yeah,
we got a lot of men and women out here in situations that they haven't been in previously. And you know, I think personally, this should be an eye opener that if, you know, I ain't saying you got to jump on the grind, but if you need to explore those options, it's time to do so. And, you know, you don't have anything to lose at this point.
Right.
But hey, in terms of that, over the weekend, a really big hot debate popped off. And I was on Twitter and saw that, you know, people were going through some things. And one of the hot topics was Black men in therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually kind of spilled over to Facebook eventually today. So whenever you all are hearing this, you know, today is the day that it spilled over for us. Where's everybody at on it? I won't be, you know, you're like a really big mental health advocate. Mm-hmm. Where are you at on that? I want you to open the floor on that one and you know, let us know what's happening.
Right on.
So, of course, I'm a mental health advocate, more so geared towards, you know, women in the African-American community. Mm-hmm. But as a African-American woman who loves Black men, who is raising two young African-American men, I'm a huge advocate for therapy, period. But I'm definitely a advocate for Black men going to therapy. And I say that to say, I will never understand the plight of a Black man because I don't know what it's like to wake up and go out into a world every day that literally hates you. I have no clue what that's like. I definitely know that there are traumas that Black men will experience, even my sons, even, you know, my cousins, my brothers, whatever. They will, you know, you all will experience traumas that I will never be able to understand. I don't know that fear of stepping outside of your door and thinking, damn, am I going to make it home or is a police officer going to shoot me or, you know, whatever the case may be. So I know that like Black men have trauma and specifically speaking to the post that, you know, that you shared today, Alan, about, you know, Black men needing therapy for their trauma. A comment was made like, you know, no, as mothers, we pass our traumas on to our children. I wholeheartedly disagree with that because my personal traumas are not the traumas of my sons. My sons will experience their own trauma. And case in point, they will need somebody to talk to, some type of professional. So I am a huge advocate for going to therapy. I don't suggest that people that look like us go to people that don't look like us, because who are you to tell me what it's like to be a Black woman? Right. A white man can't tell a Black man how to be a Black man and not to be afraid and that his trauma is relevant, because you don't fucking understand. I've had different therapists of all different walks of life, white, Black, male, female, and I've only found
likewise
that African-American therapist, be it male or female, can understand what it is like to be a Black woman, raising a Black child, raising specifically Black men. So I'm a huge advocate for Black men going to therapy for whatever they need to go to therapy for.
Okay. I think today was, I'm not going to call it an eye-opener, because it definitely was not an eye-opener. It was just actually really more so confirmation. And something that I touched on in one of the threads was just how, you know, I feel like the gap gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger with every post, every question, because I don't think that people are really open. I mean, Facebook is a cesspool of craziness anyway, as is. So then you throw in something that people are really emotional about. What happens in my experience is that the actual topic gets buried and people are just going back and forth with their own personal beliefs. And in this instance, for me, I think it was more so being a Black man that has gone to therapy and dealt with things. You know, I lost my older brother when I was 4 years old. I didn't grieve his death until I was 21, like legit, like, because that was when I was getting out of the house and I was like, man, I wonder what life would be like if I lived with my brother and we had our own crib. You know what I'm saying? Like, what would we be doing? We'd be kicking it and,
right.
Da, 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 da. And, you know, then going through, dealing with issues that I dealt with, you know, through high school with my father and just so on and so forth. So many things that have happened, relationships, kind of burying things, you know, mm-hmm. and knowing these things, and then for people to come like, well, you know, Black men need to do this, this, this. And, you know, I don't take it as, you know, they say hit dogs holler, right? But I feel like so many comments, and I'm not talking about it Facebook in general. You could be watching a TV show, a blog, sitting down watching a live panel, and, you know, all those, the ambiguous statements come through. And if you are kind of feeling a certain way, it will touch you. But even if you're just passionate about a subject, I could say that, you know, Black people don't know how to create generational wealth, right? This is an example. Please don't come at me for this one, y'all. Right. Jesus. they're like, oh, AI said the generational wealth. Oh, what he doing? Oh, shut up.
The truth hurts, man. Right. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Yeah, so people jump on it, and before you know it, you know, you're in a position of you're on the defense now, right?
Right.
And you're not able to say, hey, and then you have another person, like I said, coming at you from their angle and then this angle, that angle. So I try not to get caught up and indulge in those things. I try to let those spaces be kind of open, but they get like rowdy really quick, you know?
Right.
And just to touch on the subject, because that's where I was going, I kind of went way off there. I feel like that anybody, I mean, therapy is going to help anybody, you know. Something that I tell a lot of people, your friends are not your therapists.
Yeah.
So it's good to have people there that listen and they're open and they tell you. But number one, your friends are going to be biased. That's number one.
Right.
Yeah.
Number two, some people don't really know how to necessarily deal with their friends. You know, they're coming saying, I lost my train of thought there, sorry. But number two, people don't know how to really deal with truth from their friends is what I was getting at.
Right.
You know, some people, oh, you jealous, so you this, so you feel this kind of way. Oh, that's my deepest, darkest secret. Are you going to pull that out on me? You know? And secondly, or thirdly, I just say, your friends got stuff going on too. They don't get paid to sit and listen to your problems. It's nice. It's nice. Definitely nice. but it's probably not always the best to have, you know. Sometimes you need that fresh mind, those fresh eyes, mm-hmm. to actually comb over a situation and evaluate from there. I'm talking a lot, man, but, you know, with the floors, I'm shy. I mean, let me know, how are you feeling, you know, as a black man? You and I are pretty much same generation.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, experience like? Well, first and foremost, man, I'm definitely with Harlem and with you. And you are not talking a lot. The problem is a lot of us are not talking enough, you know, yes. when it comes to things mm-hmm. like this. So I want to take it back to the fact that, and, you know, if you let me give the new listeners a disclaimer, you know, about Rashad. I'm pretty sure Daryl over there laughing, and AI too, and probably Harlem too. When I come from the heart and my intentions are to be super positive, I am unapologetic. Mm-hmm. I recognize that opinions are like couches at people mama houses. It's always available for you to sleep on, and some niggas are sleeping on them right now, which is fine. You know, it's all good. I say that to just say this. I'm going to tell you how I feel.
Absolutely.
So first and foremost, man, one of the things that the black community, you know, I'm black and happen to be a part of the black community, or the mythological idea of a black community, right?
Shad's a black man, if you didn't know.
Yeah, blackity black. Actually, Nigerian and Native American, but that's a whole nother conversation for
ancestry DNA. Yeah,
yeah.
No,
hey,
yeah.
Just having a roots, having a roots. Side note: talk to your elders before
yes,
they
sir.
Leave.
Yes, sir.
Talk to your elders. But you know, I mean, just we come from what the fuck is therapy? We grew up on that. What is therapy in a sense of going to talk to a professional about your problems and issues and so on and so forth. Like, one of the things we got to be honest about is that, and this is a generalization, but in the hood, what was therapy? You don't go talk to a therapist. That's white people shit. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You don't do that. So just right there, we're already dealing with a great amount of pain, trauma, ignorance, you know, just based on conditioning. You know what I'm saying? So that's number one. So what, and then number two, and I love my sisters, I love my brothers and my sisters, but we got to talk about this. And I don't hear a lot of people say this nowadays. They used to say it all the time when they had these conversations. Number one, when it came to the sisters, it'll be things, and I want people to really listen to what I'm getting ready to say. The whole, don't let no nigga get over on you. Don't let no nigga do this to you. Niggas ain't shit, blah, blah, blah. With men, black men, it was, you bet not cry, you a punk. You bet not have no feelings. Fuck this, and nigga, you gotta be hard, and all this mm-hmm. other stuff. Now, sounds typical. Sounds like what you were hearing, this trash rap that's ran by people who don't look like us and don't really give a fuck about our community, but take from our culture. But the thing is, I tell people, anytime you listen to music, we'll just use music. Music is not the only avenue, but we'll use music. When you nod in your head, I tell young people, you know, every time you do that, you agreeing with what's coming over them beats. And even deeper, you're affecting your subconscious. And that's what runs your conscious. You know what I mean? So when it comes to black men needing therapy, black people need therapy. We need to be, well, I won't go there just yet. But black people, we need therapy, but we have to be honest. We got to go to the root of why are we in this position now that, if a black man is saying anything about therapy and being fucked up or whatever, it's almost as if he's going to be attacked. And I definitely got to say that for my sisters, because when my sisters say it, they're definitely attacked when it's just like, hey, I want to do something other than just be combative, full of drama, and not be dysfunctional, but handle internal things or internal issues in a positive light that will have some type of resolution at the end. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. All in all, with all that fancy fun talk, all I'm saying is, as a collective, we have to grow the fuck up. And we about 20 years late. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'll just say, Harlem is absolutely right. We have to, and I'm a flippy. I'm saying basically what she said, but even when it comes to therapy, this is a generalization once again, But one, we have to start being able to look at each other and not see each other with hate. And I'm talking about the what I like to call the black, the well, really, I call it the nigga diaspora, but what I like to call the
hey, speak your mind, bro.
What I like to call, you know, brothers and sisters. We have to deal with, you know, and that's in a form of therapy, as Harlan said. It's a lot of internal issues we have as individuals as well as a collective. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I'll be honest with you, and I'm going to swing it back to Harlem. It's like one of the areas I get stuck in is what comes first, the chicken or the egg? And the reason I want to swing it to her because she's a mother. Mm-hmm. I do agree with what she said, where it's like we got to grow up past the, oh, because my mother had trauma, she passed it on to me. No, your mother may have had trauma, but you had a direct and indirect choice to intake that drama and make it your own. Boom. You know what I'm saying? But one of the things is I always look up to my sisters because really, and trust me, the shout out to the Hotep, you know, peace. I know what Hotep means. I come from that background.
I have been brainwashed, my brother.
Yeah, because I ain't going to even go there. But, you know, I have a very strong belief about black women and what their position is on this planet. And it's synonymous with God. I just say it like that because, I, you know, you got some people who will beat you up for saying it. But nations come through our women. You know what
absolutely.
I'm saying?
So, absolutely.
And everything I'm speaking about has to deal with therapy. I'm not saying I got a right answer or a wrong answer because, you know, niggas. And niggas are synonymous with guys, by the way. You know, niggas. Man, that what you saying, nigga, this, and that. It's just an open conversation. I think that it, when it comes to, you know, our children and therapy and what's going to be passed on and so forth and so on, I agree. I'm going to use you as an example, Harlem. Harlem, her trauma is not her son's trauma, but she's the first, I just got to say it.
Go ahead.
Black woman is the first God that a child knows. You know,
I agree.
Their communication is happening before they even enter, you know, this existence. Mm-hmm. So it's all about taking care of mama and making sure that mama is good and mama talking to the children like, hey, this is my path. This, and that's what you were saying, Harlem. This is my path. This is your path. These are my traumas. You may have different traumas that I can't relate to, but I can do my best, you know, rather the father is there or not, and that's not my business to discuss, but I can do the best that I can to have you prepared for the world that you will encounter. And that's a form of therapy. Mm-hmm. Right. But we look past it. You know, but go ahead, Harlem, because I've been in spoke for 90 hours. Go ahead.
Well, here's the thing, too. Not to negate the fact that mothers can create trauma in their children.
Right.
Especially in their male children. We definitely can create trauma. You have mothers who are toxic. You have mothers who are abusive. You have mothers who bring several different men in and out the house around their children.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boys, especially this young men,
right?
Yeah.
Say that. Got a new uncle every week.
Say hey to Mr. Johnny. You know that type of shit.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You have those mothers who create trauma within their children, and then when their children become fucked up, vile individuals, they turn their backs on them, or they say, "Nah, not my baby," or they say, "It's not me. It wasn't." Because of me, I was doing the best that I could, which is bullshit. Because as Rashad just said, as a mother, your first initial contact is inside of the womb.
Yeah.
We're nurturing and creating life before life even gets here.
Right.
So mothers can create trauma wounds within their sons for sure.
That's okay. Right on.
But me, and I'll just use me as a prime example. Me having been sexually assaulted is my trauma wound.
Right.
I'm not going to push that off onto my son and make him feel any type of way about even being a man because I feel some type of way about this particular individual. You know what I'm saying? So there are a lot of situations. And I think that the main thing that a lot of people need to understand, specifically my Black women, as queens, as number one, first, we have to accept the fact that it's okay for us to go to therapy. Mm-hmm. Because we have always been told, "Oh, just pray about it, you'll be all right." Ooh. That's white women. That's yeah. white people shit. We don't go to therapy. We accept the fact that we need to go see somebody, that we need to talk to somebody too. But then we have to encourage our kings, our Black men, our Black children to seek therapy as well, and let them know that I'm not gonna look at you as weak because you went to therapy.
Right.
I'm going to respect you more and sit you on a little bit of a higher pedestal because you identified within yourself that there was a problem.
So
that you needed some help.
Yeah, and if you don't mind, Harlem, I wanna go back and forth with you. You know what I'm saying? And AI, of course. You pointed out something. Cause see, here's the thing, I think this is a great conversation. And I think it's a great conversation and it's all over the place. But that's good because it is a situation. It's all over the place. And it seeps into so many aspects of the Black experience. It has so many facets to it. But if I can hyper focus on one part, the fact, and you said it best, be like, you weak. You this, you that, if you get some kind of help. Or you clearly we need fucking help as a Black man, Black woman, Black community, so on and so forth. Number two, we gotta get people out of our fucking business. Now I know that ain't the topic of the show.
But real shit though.
I gotta say it because what's the one thing that we are talking about in an indirect fashion? We're talking about communication and distraction. We're talking about communication and assumption. We're talking about communication and pain body. Why is it that I grew up hearing, if you got to get therapy, if you got to get this, you know, I tell people, I'm super transparent. I've had a drug addiction when I was a teenager. You know what I'm saying? That I had to tell my son about because I saw him getting ready to go the same route. And I had to explain, where was that drug addiction coming from? Well, the pain of some stuff that I experienced, like, with my father not being there how I wanted him to be. My mother taking more time with my sister, and I had to grow up and recognize that my mother was giving my sister a form of therapy while just being like, okay, this my baby boy. You know, it's all these things. So when you hyper-focus on this one part where it's like you weak if you need help, to me, that is a whole people who need fucking therapy. You know what I'm saying? That I think needs to come in the form of professional therapy, aromatherapy, spiritual therapy. Goddamn.
Get you some sage.
Hey, you see my candles burning in the background. Motherfucking therapy, Theraflu, nigga. Like, there's so much shit that we need. And it's like, and she brings up, and I don't know, like, my heart with you, Harlem, because there's so many sisters who've been through sexual abuse. You know, the forgive me for using this term, but I got to keep it 100 of what was being said in the hood, but the raper man and the idea. And I know this is going to lead into a conversation we wanted to have about Boosie's malfunction in mind. You know what I'm saying? And just, but even with that, so I know we're not going to fast forward there yet, but even with that, when I hear that and when I see that, that's a brother who needs therapy. AI, and I don't know if D's still on here, but we can attest to when we were in high school and we freshmen and we liking the freshman girls and so on and so
I'm
forth.
Still here.
Okay. But all of us as men, and Harlem, you know, as a sister, I'm pretty sure you ain't seen it, where the freshman girls dating grown ass niggas. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, bro.
I was one of them. Okay. I was one of them. Like, I can't even front. I was 15 years old. And it's so crazy because, like, my boyfriend was 18. He was in college. I thought I really was doing something. Right. I'm 15 years old. You know, my mama was like, we're not doing that. And I was like, yes, the fuck I am. Right. We thought that shit was cute.
Right.
You know, we thought it was cute. Not really recognizing, like, now, of course, 20 years later, yeah, it's okay for me to date somebody that's 4, 10, 15 years older than me.
Right.
But at 15,
No.
That's kind of weird. That's kind of creepy.
But you know how many sisters did that? And I'm not trying to find out when, you know, things that happened to you that were unfortunate happened. But a lot of sisters that I know who we've spoken, when they had sexual trauma, molestation, and so on and so forth at a younger age, they seeked older men way before their mind was ready, you know what I'm saying, to know what it's like to be with a grown man and grown and younger boys with grown women too. And all of this is in a realm of therapy.
That was Antoine Fisher.
That's needed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's real. That's real. Mine wasn't until later in life. I was an adult. So I think I was just more mature, I think, a little bit. But I also had a daddy wound as well.
Yep.
My father had just passed away suddenly. You know, somebody who I was really, really close to. I was a daddy girl. I was his only child.
Right.
So my dad passed away, and then I meet this, I don't want to call him a boy, but I meet this man, and it's like, oh, you can heal my daddy wound. And that's exactly what it led to, because you know, I don't speak ill of him. He's known out here or whatever, you know. Okay. I've made peace with the situation. Yeah. But when young women get in situations like that, they end up dealing with things that they shouldn't be dealing with, like being hit on, being abused, you know, being cheated on with women who are older than them and can offer so much more. So it's like, it's a repetitive cycle that's almost like, when do we stop it? Mm-hmm. And so those are the conversations that I have with my son, who's 15, and these girls who are 13 and, you know, trying to talk to him and trap him. And I'm like, no, don't do it, you know? And it's just like, here's two
forms of, because I'm all about positive reinforcement, two forms of therapy that existed with you is, one, you're speaking to your son, hey, this was me at a certain age, I know how young ladies move when they come from here, I know how young ladies move when they come from here. That's number one. But number two, and what you just said, another form of therapy is you forgave yourself to the point that you can forgive the brother that you just said, I'm not going to speak bad about, because you healed something within yourself to put you in that place. And that's what therapy starts. Brothers and sisters and people of all colors, it starts with self. When you are able to identify, I got a problem, you know, with me, with the lack of the relationship that I wish my father and I had made me a fucking fuckboy to women, believe it or not. And it took me years to have the self-therapy and actually get spiritual therapy to help me identify, hey, yo, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I have a problem and I need to heal.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm with you on that, brother, for sure, man. I mean, just real, trust me. I'm with you on that one, brother.
By the time, and I just say this real quick, by the time you're going to get professional help, and I salute professional help, I take my hat off to Black therapists. You know what I'm saying? I take my hat off to all therapists, but I think if you are a Black,
we need
man,
more Black everything, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, everybody else got it, and I salute that. I don't be mad at shit like that.
No, but sir.
And it's just, it's all about the relatability, if that's a word. I make up words quick on you. But the biggest thing is, by the time you're going to see somebody else, that's truly the second step of therapy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The first part is like, call them. Hey, you know what? This is where I was at. These were my issues. And I'm taking full fucking responsibility for them. And that's where the peace starts. So I can't remember what you said, Future said about, what was his comment again that kicked off this whole Black man therapy AI?
Bro, I kind of skimmed through, bro, but he was essentially talking about how, like, the streets kind of, you know, molded and influenced him, and just kind of his upbringing and what was going on at home and whatnot. But, you know, everybody thinks Future's toxic, bro. Future can't say hi to you. And,
Bro, he can't win for losing, bro.
He gets a bad rap for everything, bro. I like Future, man, but yeah. He gets a bad rap for everything. He can't.
Sierra coming up with Russell Wilson is the main reason he gets shitted on, though. Like, if she had just won with some dude named Buster Douglas.
Yeah,
he was hanging out with him.
No, that's not true.
Okay,
that's
not true.
All right.
How many baby mamas does Future have?
Oh, that's true. Like no.
Five,
oh, that's the backup part. He's got nine.
Okay, he literally like had just be out here just raw gnawing.
Oh, okay.
And just making babies.
Shout out to Javon Bibbs.
Shout out to Javon Bibbs.
He does appear to be like the toxic nigga poster child. Yeah. Like, stop. Yeah. You know, so yes, definitely. I think anybody that Sierra would have ended up with who took on a child that wasn't theirs and loved them and loved her properly and helped her to glow up, like, I think we still would have felt the same way about Future that we do. He's fucking trash.
I think I think that Sierra thing puts that extra sauce on them ribs, boy. Because if she was just with some regular dude that was working at Jiffy Lube, we would not be caring, man.
Future actually comes from like a decent family in Atlanta, exactly. Bro. Like he's. I don't know the full tale, but I can definitely tell you that he comes from a decent family in Atlanta, man. Like his people used to work for like the city of Atlanta, right. and you know, I know job titles don't mean, you know, too much in that aspect, right. But he actually comes from like a kind of cool family. Like Rico Wade is his cousin.
Yeah, that's my guy right there too, man.
Yeah. Like Dungeon family. He was
maybe he just like making babies. You know, it is what it is.
I think every album. I think he wants a kid for every album. He just dropped the album. He found shit. I think it's literally every album he get a kid.
I mean, everything is up for interpretation. You know what I'm saying in this world, but yeah, I'm not really
mainstream hip to the full future toxicity thing. Is what it is.
When Lori break up with him, we already get a fire album. When Lori break up, we get a fire album. Yeah. Fire. I just want to meet the person that keeps hurting Adele. In future.
Yeah. Well, you know, Adele just got divorced and her glow up is amazing. Her husband was trash. He actually gets like a large chunk of her money. So
I don't disagree with her.
That's another episode, bro. I don't disagree with that either.
All right, y'all wilding out.
No. He's getting his just due, so I ain't got no problem with just, look, no. If that money was made during our relationship, male or female, it's going to go to half.
Dudes are just now getting a little bit of bread back.
Kevin Federline is actually the patron saint. He's the one that really got us on this.
Boy.
Jeff Bezos' wife walked away with some billies. Like,
Is this toxic masculinity that I hear? Yes.
Hold on. So Jeff Bezos' wife could walk away at 500 mil. But Adele,
no, she wants to with some billions, bro.
She got billions.
Okay, so and Adele husband can't get his little 5-6 mil just to keep it because he's been rolling around with her all this time.
It was more than that.
Okay, I don't know all the details.
It was way more than that. So like, no, fuck no. Him, Kendu, Mary J. Blige's ex-husband, like y'all wasn't in the studio with me. Like, no.
This don't sound right.
Yeah.
They're on mic muted. Turn your mic back on. Where you at?
I said this don't sound right because literally this happens every day in America though.
Every day, bro. Every day.
I'm all ears.
This is another episode, bro. We're gonna
sign. All right.
Definitely another episode. We gotta figure that one out because man.
Put that in the notes.
You gotta comment my strokes are worth something.
Yeah, like brothers are just now getting back.
Put that in the notes.
Brothers are just now getting their due diligence.
I'm
putting it in there now.
Harlem, I'm nuts.
Man, yeah, because that was getting ready to go there. Like, we probably should have let it ride, but I'm like, yeah, not yet.
Right. No, that's the fun.
Y'all know I'm ready. Y'all know I'm ready to fire this.
Shit. That's the fuckboy episode.
That is for that. Man, I mean, hey.
It's all subjective.
The ratio on that is probably like...
I'm looking at Harlem's face. That's why I keep saying shit, man.
Right. Yo, hey. Shit, we got shift gears, bro.
This is the energy that people wanted. This is what they want when they said add a female to the dynamic. Hey, here y'all go. You're welcome.
Sister, you definitely a powerful sister, man. I'm a big fan. I've been a fan, so I'm grateful to be able to get cussed out by you probably next episode. So
like speaking of powerful sisters, man, we're gonna shift gears, man. Like I think the other day I posted about, you know, when did it become a badge of honor for, and this was, you know, this was specifically toward women. When did it become a badge of honor for someone to just boast and brag about being hard to love? I'm toxic, but I'm worth it. You know, I could go on with that one. I hear it so much. I see it posted so much. It's memes everywhere. Mm. You know, if I'm worth it, you'll stay. When did that level of, we're going to call it toxicity, that level of toxic, and it's referring to a wide spectrum of things, when did it become the norm? When did that become where people could just say, you know, this is it, this is what you got to deal with, oh well. And the crazy thing is, this kind of goes back to us talking about therapy. Like,
yeah,
when did that become the norm?
Of when people shit like Love and Hip Hop became mainstream? When we stop seeing positive black relationships, right?
Mm-hmm.
It became cute. I'm toxic. I'm hard to love. A nigga can't control me and all this type of shit.
Mm-hmm.
No, bitch, you need to go to therapy.
Can I add on to your bill, Harlem?
Please do.
I think when it became profitable to talk about how fucking toxic you are. And I always tell my brothers and sisters, please follow the dollar. Follow the dollar and see who benefits the most off of you sounding fucking retarded. Sorry for using the word fucking. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
you're right, though. You are right. You don't hear white women having these conversations about, oh, I'm so toxic. No, it's literally us. We take pride in...
Wasn't the whole show Sex and the City about women like that?
With toxicity?
They wasn't toxic. No, they weren't toxic. They were free. Like, okay. I'll even do the comparison of Sex and the City to Girlfriend, right?
Woo, let's get it. fucking dope. No, that's dope. I like that. Let's go.
Yo.
Let's go.
Tell me that the two are comparable and they are not, because there was absolutely the smallest level of anything toxic from those women on Sex and the City. It was more so the men. When you look at Girlfriend, who was, let me see, produced by who? A white man? Right, Kelsey Grammer. Oh,
whoa, Melvin. Hey, I'm slow. I ain't know.
Oh, no, ain't no Rashard. Kelsey Grammer helped produce the game, too, man.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
As good and as great as Girlfriends was as a show for the culture, them four women was toxic as fuck. Mm. All of them. It was cute. We could relate. That's why they did it. We black women could relate to the shit. The white women, I relate to Carrie Bradshaw. I don't know what the fuck, you know, but you can't compare them to.
I always thought when it came to shows like this, man, and it's just like, real, like I'm telling you, you the point guard right now, Harlem, straight up, man, because I damn near forgot I was on the show, because I'm like, I didn't hear this shit, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, so that's good shit, man. It seems like, that's a good fucking point. I'm almost speechless, but not quite. But with Girlfriends and shows of the sort, which were kind of mild dysfunction. You know, if it was a sauce, it would be mild. But like you said, it was cute. And I recognize just kind of growing up, but I come back from the days of when all my sisters was like, I'm independent and I don't this and I don't that. And it was kind of, we going to shoot black men to the side. And then it kind of led into girlfriends and stuff. It's almost like I witnessed an arrested development taking place just with people who were entertained by shows of dysfunction and toxicity, to where as a society, it seemed like nobody wanted to grow past the point of gaining attention from being toxic, because attention pays.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously these days. So I, man, that's some for real shit you just said, man. Like, why is it? It's just like, why is it with our sisters and our brothers, the brothers got to be, and I know you all hear this in the form of jokes and shit all the time, but it's like if you graduate from college or you educate yourself, or if you're an entrepreneur, it's like, bravo. But when Lil Terrell coming home from jail from some shit he did.
You threw a whole party.
Oh, nigga, we off of COVID-19. My nigga did 19. He back, son. It's just like,
Chris Rock used to, he had a joke about that.
Yeah. And then with the women, I've personally seen this in life. In the 90s. Yeah, the 90s were a thing. Where it would be like sisters who were like, hey, I'm going to go off to Clark or to Howard, or I'm going to go into business management or this, that, and the third. You know, okay. But no disrespect, but if it's a young sister who got a baby or a couple of babies and shit, it's like all this attention. Like, oh, we got to do this and we got to, look, that was playing. Oh, we got to do this and we got to do that. And oh, it's this and oh, all this love and shit. And it's almost kind of like we neglect those in our community. You know, there goes that word again, that folklore word, black community. we neglect them. But if it's like something about somebody having children, and I don't mean no disrespect to nobody, I'm just being honest with what I saw. But the more dysfunctional things are or were, and the more upside down shit was, the more attention it got.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then when it leads to that fucking brick wall that you're going to hit, then it's like, hoo-hoo, why don't nobody love me? Why don't nobody this and that? It's a whole, niggas ain't shit.
Well, it's self-sabotaging.
What is it about
you definitely do
that attract ain't shit niggas? Or bitches ain't shit? Well, my brother, what is it about you that attract bitches ain't, you know, where does this come from?
Hey, I just be trying to hit, I ain't gonna front. So.
Yeah.
I think the question is, you know, our diet is so much more than what we just physically ingest and put into our mouths. So it's what we see, it's what we see, it's what we look at every day, it's what we read, it's what we listen to. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't grow up with these reality shows and, you know, whatever, however they may be, whether it's a housewife or it's a Love and Hip Hop. I grew up on fucking Denise Huxtable and Lily Gilbert from Blank Period, you know. And so I tell people all the time now, especially in the season that I'm in, like, I am striving to love myself like Whitley loved Whitley. I don't have time to be toxic. I'm not trying to attract toxic. None of that shit. We are what we put into our bodies. So if we change our mindset and really only look at that shit for entertainment purposes, stop engaging in low vibrational shit. You know, no, Jim Jones and Chrissy are not fucking real. They're not relationship goals. Kimbella and Yandy are not friendship goals. Like, we have this culture that we have appropriated for ourselves, where we've gotten away from what healthy relationships look like.
You know,
and that's just it.
I was gonna say, I always wonder if reality TV, first off, I like when I talk to my son, I say it's like reality television, but who's reality? You know what I'm saying?
It's
reality.
It's a scripted reality, is what
scripted
it is.
Scripted as hell. Like, and, yo.
And what if
it's
they call
reality?
Yeah, and guess what? What if they call scripted reality instead of reality TV, social experiment TV? You know, with brothers and sisters look at it the same. See, like, y'all running an experiment on us? Because that, because in my opinion, that's what was done.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really know what's going on behind those cameras. I think that a lot of individuals have come to accept what we're seeing on social media, in IG and TikTok stories, and in these pictures that we choose to post, that, you know, this is what it is, right? Like, I've had people, like, say, like, I remember a chick told me one time, she said, "You must not spend a lot of time with your son." I said, "Why you say that?" She said, "You never post him." I was like, "Cool."
Oh my God. Hey, what you say, man? That's what I want to know, what you said.
I didn't say too much of anything. I was like, "You obviously don't know me," but that just using it as an example to say that reality is what you perceive it as. If you see, you know, because it's not just us on these whack shows. You can tune into whatever these other networks are and see, because they're all owned by Viacom. Mm-hmm. So let's get that out the way. Mm-hmm. But you can watch, you know, Mob Wives and
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Right, and I Made a Doctor in Beverly Hills and whatever else, bro. Like, the titles go on and on. So it's not just us. And it's not just us just seeing it as a norm. I think the big difference is that we're so small in population that it's easy to spot and pick us out, right? Because everybody wants to be like us, but nobody wants to be us. So
I'm waiting for the show to come out to say, you know, for the ladies, there's a woman who got a show to say, "I married a nigga that changed oil in Vaseline." I want to see that show, how they put their money together and they make it and shit, some believable shit. Or "I got furloughed and I'm using my homegirl car to get around and so she get off." Like,
you
gotta
watch,
I
want
to see some shows. Yeah, though.
That's them Amazon Prime videos, bro. That's them Amazon Prime movies. Them joints be mad.
You know what's fucking crazy? Hold on, Father. Because you was talking about John Henry. You know what's fucking crazy? John Henry was worse than the fucking Amazon Prime movies. And them Mississippi Turn Up, nigga. That shit was...
Amazon Prime.
No, I think John Henry was kind of neck and neck with the movie First Lady starring Hoops. Like, I want y'all to watch it. Like,
was that the one with Jim Jones?
Yes.
Okay, okay.
Oh, no, I did see that.
Two of them.
Isn't it a sequel to that, too? It's a sequel to that, too, right?
It is.
Yes.
It is.
It was so bad, I watched both of them twice.
It is. Like, yo, the videography on that joint was horrible. Like, cameras were shaking, everything. Like, it was bad. It was bad. No, I think
the thing
that,
is, they had the audacity
that,
to make a sequel.
I don't
That's
know.
The thing. They had the audacity to make a sequel.
They said John Henry gonna have a sequel, though.
No.
Yeah,
no,
that's not a good idea.
We're not doing that.
Well, I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but I just want to know who's going to play in it. That's the question, right?
Man.
So, I'm not
going to spoil it. Nah, I just think we have to be honest with ourselves, and that's a lot of the problem. You know, like, we just okay with the bullshit, and that's not okay.
Yeah,
like,
we're hauling bullshit. I'm going to use a word I never use. And everybody let me know if I use this motherfucker wrong, right? Bullshit begets more bullshit. Bullshit begets attention. Right? I'm super toxic. 4,200 likes. Hey, you know, I believe we all need to come together. 3 likes. You know what I'm saying?
Quick.
This is just how
we are, man. Definitely. I know I be on a lot of bullshit on Facebook, and then I do get on my soapbox of being positive, which is, you know, where I'm shifting towards. Mm-hmm. But you would get 15 million shares by talking about, you know, a chick who man got to use her card right quick, as opposed to me telling you, you know, heal yourself and watch everything unfold, and then you're gonna get 2 likes and one heart emoji. That's right. It.
And they're gonna call you Harlem Badu and shit.
Right. My engagement is always up. I'm on my bullshit.
Yeah, you fake but, like Tyreek.
Right. But I gotta give both of y'all credit. AI Harlem, I'm speaking about. Y'all, in my opinion, because I'm telling you, I ain't been in Facebook jail so much and had the nigga battles and shit. I'm done. I'm 42 years old. I'm done with that. But I love the way that you all, I think there is genius, and it's a genius in the way y'all do. And Daryl too, the way you all propose certain questions or make comments, because it's like y'all. So it's almost like the shit y'all say to people make people mad, not at you, but about their fucking self. And they got to take it out on you, but I guarantee you, both of y'all are definitely good at it. I think Daryl got a little older, so he ain't slowed down, but.
Yeah, Daryl,
he used to be the king of that shit.
Yeah. No, I did. I had slowed down, man. You know, changed up my life. You know, gave my life to Christ, you know.
Right. Me and Daryl have been on the war fields, man. We injured and wounded. Yeah. Well, AI, you was around. Yeah.
I've never let up, man. I've never let up. You know, I have my moments where I'm back and forth with it, though. But to answer that, my engagement is always up when I'm toxic, and I'm going to own that. So you all heard it right here. My engagement
But it's a genius in your toxicity, man. Like, there's a – like, you got to – ain't no woman who ain't never sold no pussy finna go tell these young girls not to sell no pussy. You know what I'm saying? Or what comes – excuse my language. But what comes with doing it, because they're going to be like, what – if you a goody two-shoes and you ain't never been 10 toes down out here doing – you know, doing whatever for whatever, how you gonna tell us? But when it's that woman that you see and she telling you like, hey, I'm finna tell you the next five things is finna happen to you because I've been through it. And she real harsh with you. That's how you get motherfuckers to listen. Or sometimes you gotta hit them a little bit for them to be like, damn, like she do got a point or he got a point. It's like, you know, and y'all gotta put their toxicity. Sometimes you gotta shake a nigga out of fantasy land. Here's your toxicity right in your face. This is you in a frame.
What you gonna do with it?
What you gonna do with
it? Yeah. I mean, somebody.
And I think my.
Go ahead.
My bad. My level of toxic comes from shit that I've already gone through, or already have experienced. So once I put the shit out there in the manner in which I put it out there, nobody can come at me like, oh, you know, you a hypocrite or whatever the case may be, because, you know, you only offended by something you haven't healed from. So when I throw certain shit out there, you know, about, like, I be saying so much shit, you know, laying up with a deadbeat ass nigga. Like, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Been there, done that. So when I say it, can't nobody throw it, nobody throw it back at me like, oh, that was just you. You damn, you right. It was, you know, but it's like sometimes we have to be that mirror for other people to realize the bullshit. It's not about clout for me, because I really could give a fuck, care less. People gonna see it regardless. You know, people gonna see it regardless, because we all know that there's people watching who would never click like, never click share.
Hell yeah.
But if it was to become a meme and somebody else was to post it, some shit that you said, then they're gonna repost it
every day.
Yeah, yeah, so then they're gonna repost it, you know. So it's just
they tell you, Harlem, a prophet is never welcome in his or her own home. And you're definitely a prophet. And it's a difference too, listening to you speak. It's a difference between opinion and testimony. And when I was listening to like the last show, you know, that I didn't get a chance to make, I heard you giving a testimony. Like, hey, this is what it was. Ain't nothing changed but the weather. So now it's upon that person when they get over their little fifis, like, hey, this sister spoke on something I'm going through right now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This sister just pinpointed some things. How would she know that? Well, young sister or young brother, she's been through it. You know what I'm saying? And she's educating you. And she's putting it in your face. And she ain't babying you and making it nice, because people, in my opinion, who do that to you don't really care about you. But the person who say, like, yo, really, you ain't shit. You know why?
Right.
I just stopped smelling like shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's all in that. But toxicity garners attention. You know, and right now, attention is the greatest. Apparently, attention pays electric bills and car notes and rent and mortgages and shit. You know, that's where we at, man.
It definitely does. I think, like, at one point in my life, I used to be extremely toxic, and I used to hide it up under, oh, I have borderline personality disorder. I have a mental illness. That was some bullshit.
That was all fluff.
No, you mentally, you out here tripping. You out here tripping. You toxic as fuck. Stop. Grow up. And I had to look at me and say, you know what? I'm the problem and the solution. We not doing that no more. And I'm not doing that shit. We're done with that. And that's what people have to do. They have to look at them, take a long, hard look at self in the mirror and really realize, yo, I'm fucked up. I gotta, this ain't getting me nowhere because toxic love is not cute.
Yeah. Oh, and it's dangerous.
It's dangerous. Oh, how many people ain't here no more, AI? How many people ain't here no more?
It's dangerous. Oh, my God. Like, it's dangerous. And it escalates.
Yeah.
And I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know. So, like, he's telling you, like.
I can write 4 books.
Yeah. Woof.
A Nigga Potter series, nigga.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Man, that was a number. I was getting ready to go deep in on that one, but
see, we gotta give it to the people.
We gotta give it to the people.
Here's the funny thing, though. I can tell we winding down, even though I bought some more time, so I'm able to stay. But I just wanted to say that once again, the Queen Harlem, she telling you, can you look in that mirror? Number one, can you look in the mirror and even recognize who the fuck you see beyond the toxicity? Number two, let's say you're at that level. Can you deal with, because this is another thing a lot of people don't talk about, what's on the other side of the toxicity when you are changing? And everything, the environments, the people, the attention, everything that was there, when you were being this toxic entertainer.
All of that matters.
A fucking entertainer for people. Motherfuckers don't give a fuck about you after they done being entertained by your stupid shit. Here your attention. Here your attention. Twerk. Here you go. Here your attention.
Then they gonna laugh and talk about your stupid ass.
Then they gonna laugh and talk about your stupid ass. And here's this. Even when you get past that and you're on the road to recovery, how do you deal with the fact that your frequency has changed? You can't listen to 104.1 if you got a station on 95.5. Now that the frequency, can you deal with everybody disappearing? And nobody even wanted to have, you're no longer a show. You're actually doing good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not even just that too. You have to deal with the fact that too, that older versions of you are going to continue to exist in the minds of the people who have disappeared. And because those people no longer vibrate on the frequency in which you vibrate on, they're going to still refer to you as toxic. They're going to still bring up your past, and you're going to always run into that shit. It's like a Facebook memory.
Yeah.
on the day.
Y'all dropping bombs.
Yeah, on this day last year, you was on some bullshit. You know, that's how it's going to remind you. And, you know, people who don't know you, and I've had that to occur recently, motherfuckers who ain't talked to me in 7 years had the nerve to have an opinion about me now.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't that person.
Right.
I'm just not the fuck that. And I have no desire to correct your idea of who you think I am because you knew me when. So it's okay that version of me still exists in your mind, but just know that this ain't that.
Yeah.
This ain't that. So go on.
And to me, my little personal 2 cents. Because I've had that happen. I'm pretty sure everybody on here had that happen. Like, and it's, I don't think she this, or hey, I think he that, or Rashad. And my thing is, you know what? Hold that. You know what I'm saying? If that's what you, if you still back in 2013 with what you think about me and I ain't seen you in forever, go on and hold that, because that tells me a lot about you.
That's
real shit, man.
But you always supposed to think higher of yourself.
Yeah, you better.
I'm not gonna think low of myself because that's what you are. I'm a motherfucking queen.
Damn right.
I'm gonna carry myself from as such. I'm from motherfucking University City, USA. I'm going to behave as such. I'm just saying, like, I'm going to carry myself in such a manner that whether it's how I want to be or whether it's how I truly am. Do it look like I was left off bad and bougie? No. Mm-hmm. You don't like it? Then maybe you should think more highly of yourself.
Yeah.
I don't think
they wrapped that one up.
Microphones are smoking. Harlem.
I think that one, Oh man, hey, no. Hey, but before we do get out of here, I it's something I really
we got 15 want. Minutes. Let's go, 15, man. I ain't ready to go. It. Come on.
Hey, yeah. I'm just gonna throw.
Arlo got the mic smoking. We die.
I'm gonna throw it on out there, man. We just gonna say it. How y'all feeling about Lil Boosie, man? What's happening?
AI, no, hold on, Harlem, because AI think he's slick. We've been doing all the talking. AI, how the fuck you feel about Boosie?
Hey, it was rolling, bro. I had to let y'all get it. Like, it was flowing.
I already know she gonna go in. It Daryl might flowing. Jump back in on that one. Like, shit,
I wasn't there. You know, hey, look, next time
record. AI, man, don't let them hate on you, AI. You do your job man.
I'm gonna put a drink in me. They gonna be like, hey, man, you wild out. Man. I'm gonna put a drink in me next time. They, bro, right. You was on one.
Now I'm gonna be Daryl. How I mute his shit? What?
Man, real talk, bro. So I don't really follow things. So from what I understood, man, if you're not familiar with the situation, apparently Lil Boosie, not apparently because I've seen the video, but he got on IG Live and said that he basically let his son, who was 12 or 13, and his nephews get buzzed down by grown women, you know, that let them get that action.
Wow.
I was like, man. And I was like, man, for a couple of reasons. Number one, we live in a different day and age. Yeah. Like, for you to get on live feed and say that, bro, like, you put yourself out there, bro. Like, you talking about that. That's
AI, everything. I don't want to stop your bill, but let me say this real quick because AI, you said it best. Toxicity. And when toxicity is entertaining – and you feel like, oh, these motherfuckers are entertained. Let me say some real stupid shit.
Yeah,
and that's when you recognize they hit the whoa. But go ahead.
I mean that hit me, bro. First was just like, bro, you in a different time, and you that video not going nowhere, bro. I tell people all the time, carry yourself as if you're being recorded at all times. I don't give a damn if you're in your house. Like, carry yourself as if you're being recorded at all times, bro. Because you can't take it away once it's on the cloud or wherever it's going.
Right.
It can't be taken away, bro. Yep. So that's number one. Secondly, it was just kind of troubling because it's like, man, how many people like right now are like with this? And I went through some comments on some stuff and cats like, I'll do it for my son. I'll do it for my nephew. I have done it. Da-da-da. I'm like, this is a real thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was out in these streets, but I was a late bloomer when it came to actually getting that action in.
Shit, brother. I didn't know you wasn't supposed to jack off with sandpaper. That's how behind the times I was.
Nah.
Yeah, I wasn't getting into the action early, yo, man. And, right. And like to know that, like, that's a real thing, man. Yeah. Then I'm wondering, like, what space is old girl in? Like, to know that. Dude, I'm gonna kick you some cash. Go take care of my people.
Go, yeah. I can't
like, whoa, right?
Well, to me, man, it goes back. It still deals with therapy and what hood therapy is, what nigga therapy is, what lost nigga therapy is. Man, you better let that woman suck your dick, nigga. You a grown man. You scared of pussy, nigga. You scared of this?
Yeah.
He's fucking 12.
Yeah.
He spells pussy with one S. How about that? Like, he ain't even ready for that shit, man. But this is what we do. And then you wonder why people running around here with four kids by the time they 15 or 16. I'm sorry. I get it. Life happens. But in this society, that is a hard life. Maybe somewhere where it's a cow and a mountain and some other shit, because I know in other countries they do other shit, but that shit is crazy here, man. Shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been happening for a while on the Lotto now. Remember Bow Wow posing with Esther Baxter?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you remember Usher, they said Usher, Puffy, and them had Usher out there. Like, so, I mean.
Yeah.
We know it's happening, right? But nobody's talking about it. And that's to the first point that these cats know what kind of trouble they can get in.
Hey, yo, it's so deep. I'm going to call Daryl out on this one because I want to get Daryl in trouble.
Let's go.
And we go back to Straight Outta Low Cash, where I got a chance to be a guest all the time. And I don't know if it was a conversation Daryl and I was having. The shit that R. Kelly was into is fucking sick. And side note, R. Kelly said something real interesting in that interview with Gayle King that I think led to some other shit that's going on now. I'll put a pin in that, though. But I think Daryl and I, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Daryl, but wasn't we having a conversation where we were asking people, so when did you decide to actually start being offended by what R. Kelly did? Because I remember the sex tape coming out.
When early 2000s, bro, and it was a hot commodity.
Yeah, and nigga, that was before Fiesta.
Before Fiesta.
That was before Step In.
Exactly, bro. Exactly.
So, okay, you know what I'm saying? So now, yeah, we're all going to jump on R. Kelly. And we're all going to and you should, because the motherfucker was doing some crazy shit. We're all going to jump on this one. We're all going to jump on that one. But you got niggas that live right next door to you who buy mouth, give their sons mouth mileage. And I think Harlan was saying, even with that, oh, it's okay for a young boy, even though you could be fucking traumatizing him by doing that shit. Because if he don't do it, you're going to call him ungodly name.
You're going to call him gay.
You're going to call him gay and this, that, and the third. And that's a whole nother conversation for another thing. But are you going to bring – I heard somebody say this. They said you're going to bring Andre Anaconda around your daughter. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you better get in there and take that 13.
Right.
Shit, you a woman, ain't you? Shit, she just got through playing with Barbies. And you said, come on, man. We got to deal with this sickness, man. And that shit's sick. And I do it for my son and this, this, and that. Okay, well, I don't want to hear you say fucking nothing else about the sick shit that people do because you would be talking about your AMX. Mm-hmm.
So I agree. I'm with you on that one, bro, wholeheartedly.
Shit. Well, my bad.
I don't think we address rape culture, though, truly.
Say that there.
Mm-hmm. Would y'all believe me if I said that my oldest son's dad had that same mindset as Boosie when my son was growing up, to the point where I had to, like, keep him away? Because I'm that mama.
Gotcha.
Don't
indict yourself. We got you.
You know, so
it's on video.
It was like, and I'm just like, bro, that's, and I said, bro, there's rape.
Oh, are we saying bro in the way, bro? Are we saying bro like bro? Or
like, hey, like
don't go back to that bro show.
You said, I said, bro. But it's like,
y'all exposed the culture on that one, boy. Yeah.
That's great.
It is.
And I think that we do our young men a disservice in not believing that men can be raped.
Hell yeah.
Boys can be touched. Boys can be molested. And it doesn't matter if the erection is involuntary or voluntary. It's a fucking muscle. So if it's rape when you get done.
Yeah.
That's a sick ass mindset. And I think at some point, because I shared an article from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch earlier this week talking about how children, boys under the age of between the age, I think it was like 10 to 12, have been charged with sexual misconduct, forcible rape.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. What does a 10 and a 12 year old know about forcible rape?
Well, you know, because I used to teach. My bad. Go ahead.
We don't address rape culture when it comes to these young men, whether they are being raped, whether they are being touched, because there are signs that we often as parents miss. And that mindset that Boosie got is the mindset of a lot of parents, male and female, mothers and fathers, that it's okay for it to happen to a boy, but it's not okay for it to happen to a girl, and that's some bullshit.
Shouldn't happen that's to some no bullshit. Child.
And, it shouldn't happen to no kid.
And just real quick, KI, because I know you finna build, man, but I just wanted to say real quick, rape culture also comes in the form of the toxic entertainment that we allow our children to watch, listen to, and partake in. Because sometimes a lot of the times the shit is coming from something that they've been made privy to or have had an unfortunate experience with. But sometimes it's coming from the fact that mama let me watch on TV and listen to what's on TV and go on YouTube. And if this is getting a million likes, then it gotta be right for me to go hunch on something or try to do this or do that. Yeah, because that's all you do. But go ahead, AI. You was going to say something.
No, man. A lot of people don't know. I used to teach. I was in and out of the public school system for about 7.5 years. And I say in and out because I was in school and getting degrees and some other things at the time and just trying to make, you know, the dots click. But, you know, being a black man in that system, man, basically what they do is they tell you you're going to work in whatever capacity because I'm not a licensed instructor. I was a permanent sub, and then I became a teacher assistant. So teacher assistants get great benefits and a little pay, and permanent subs get great pay and no benefits. So I opted for the benefits, right? But when you get into those systems, man, in those schools, what they're going to do to you as a black man is basically make you, quote unquote, patrol the school, right? Mm-hmm. If it's a fight, if it's people that need to be found, if kid run out the front door, that's on you. Your walkie going off and you got to jump into action, right? So I said all that to say this. Two kids came up missing in the building, boy and a girl, second grade. I found them in the art room, and old girl was giving him that top.
Come on, man.
Second grade, bro. Second grade.
Come on.
Second grade.
That's horrible.
In the art room, bro. And they knew what time to go in there. They went in there during lunch period because the art teacher used to be on lunch duty.
Wow.
So they knew what to do, how to do it, everything, bro.
They handled
that
situation.
She was in there chopping them off, bro.
How do you
have
this situation, man?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. Like,
man, it's so shocking, bro. Like, I don't teach anymore, so I'm not even I could tell anybody whatever, right? You shocked, you know what I'm saying? Because the first thing you have to worry about is yourself, right? Because you can't just jump into action.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm by myself, so I got to worry about who I'm touching, where and when and how.
Yeah.
So you got to distract their attention. Get them back right. They startled. They scared. They jumping. So they trying to get themselves together anyway. Now it's time to go to the office. Mm-hmm. Now you got to deal with parents because parents are like, well, who found them?
Yep.
How they know what was going on? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Now you got to deal with administrators. So not only do you got to deal with your building administrator, you got to deal with district administrators because you the one that witnessed
right
what was happening. So now you got to write statements. All is, you know, kids got to go to hearings and parents got to figure stuff out and da-da-da-da-da. So it's like a very awkward space to be in. But I said that just to relate to, you know, I think, Shai, you said that kids are emulating what they see their children say, do, or get killed what they see their parents say, do, whatever the case may be.
Right.
I can tell you that 100%. You know what I'm saying? Like, man. Seeing these little girls twerking and all that stuff, man. I tell people all the time, bro, you never know how dirty a clean version is until you hear kindergartners sing it.
Oh, my God.
like, you know, you're like, oh, man. Hey, and he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, ooh, that's
right.
That's not where it's at. Like,
right.
Man. Yeah. So.
We just have to address rape culture, period. You know, we have to address it head on when we see those behaviors or, you know, when we – because kids are going to mimic what they see and what they hear. Their best teacher is their parent and then the kids that they're around. So it's just like we have to address rape culture and any type of inappropriate behavior when we see it head on, because if we do not, we are going to raise another generation of fucking weirdos and perverts.
Yeah, yeah, real talk. I'm going to hit this. And I mean, if you all want to fill in on this one, but this is a true life experience of mine. So all of you know
that. Yeah, before you even go into that, what happened? What was the result with those kids? I'm just curious what happened.
Daryl.
10-day suspension, brother.
Did the parents get some home visits?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'll be honest. I'm not sure. I don't think so, but I'm not 100% certain. I know they got suspended for 10 days. I can tell you that for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's a ball drop if the parents.
I'm calling DFS. DFS. About it.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. You know, that system gets that's another show too, man. The education system.
Oh yeah.
Oh, anyway. No, but true story, Reed, in regards to this, you all know that I've toured with numerous artists. So I don't even remember what year this was. I was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I was with Hill Harper at the time. Hill Harper was doing a kind of a tour with some artists around the country. So we had a show Saturday. We performed, knocked out the show or whatever, went back to the hotel. I'm not going to say who I was there because these are celebrities that are still out here and known.
Oh, God.
I wake up Saturday morning, knock on my door. So I get to the door, it's the police.
Oh, no.
I'm like, yo, I'm like, what's happening? They like, we need to ask you some questions, da 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 da. I'm like, about what? What's happening? They were like, you know, there was some young ladies up here last night. And yeah, I was like, up where? So they were like, well, you know, we followed the cameras. They ended up on this floor. We don't know a room they went into, yada, 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 yada. Anyway, turns out the little girls were in high school. Came back to the hotel after the party, or not after the party, but after the show with the celebrities I was with. The celebrities busted them down. They got home late. Their parents found out where they were, called the police. Police came up. So I'm like, listen, I'm pleading my case at this point, and right. I don't know craziness, but I'm just like, listen, man, I already knew what kind of show it was because I could look out from the stage and see what kind of people was in the crowd. You know, I was like, man, I'm a grown man. I don't.
Right.
I was like, unless y'all got anything, you know, concrete, I need y'all to roll on out because I've been in here all night. You know, you're trying to get me to confirm my story. I was like, look, man, y'all said y'all followed the cameras. Did y'all see me right. in the hallway? Did y'all da-da-da? You know, no, we didn't see you. They said, you know. I was like, look, the only thing I did last night was went to the bar, had a drink. Because it was a bar in the lobby, of course, you know.
Right.
They kind of took off. Long story short, the management of the people it was basically apologized. Like, yo, my bad. We da-da-da-da, yada, 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 yada. I kind of went on about their business, right? So, Hill calls me. I'm hollering at Hill. He's like, yo, what the fuck happened? Hill's a cool-ass dude if you've never met him, man. Hill's cool as
cool,
fuck.
Cool.
He's like, what the fuck happened? I'm like, bro, I don't know. Your people got on some shit last night. Police was at my door. He's just like, yo, brother, I'm sorry. You know, that won't happen again. Yada, yada, yada. We rap with everybody.
AI, were these little girls, were these girls Caucasian? I'm just...
I didn't even see who it was. They just the police said it was three girls. I don't know.
It just seems like a mission of like the Babysitter's Club number three or something.
Yeah, I mean these cats that I was with at the time, man, they were kind of Hollywood playboys. You know what I'm saying? They were kind of the music slash actor deal going on at that time. So you know they were on TV, hella heavy. They were in movies and they were doing the music thing as well. So it was, you know, when they came out on stage, bro, the reaction from the, like I said, you being me, you can look out and see who was out there, right? There was nothing there for me. I knew that from jump. There was nothing there for me. So you know, I did my show, went on about my business. But it was just, I said all that to say, you know, while we're talking about this rape culture and things of that nature, it was those girls were trying to get close to those dudes, because these dudes were probably in their early 20s at the time. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, is that a status thing? Is that a he cute? Is that a fantasy? Like what is that? Like, what is that? Because we were talking about, you know, the young ladies dealing with the older guys. Like what part of the game is that?
I ain't got no answer for you. Because I didn't become a groupie till I was older. So I don't even have an answer for you. Like, I don't know. I just think you might be right. It might be a status thing to. Durrell, what you laughing at me?
Yo,
you know,
she's speaking her truth, bro.
I ain't mad at her.
I mean, you know, Durrell busted. I mean, Alan busted me out last week. You know, talking about
I did.
You know, yeah. They jumped in my DM today. By the way,
oh,
thank you for that.
Wow.
But no, like I do, you know, it's just like when young girls used to date like the way older guys, and I'm not talking about like guys that's in college. I'm talking about like dudes that was well established, had they nice cars and things like that. It is a status thing, you know. It is like a show off thing, like, oh, look what I got. Yes, I'm better than you, type of situation. Not really recognizing that you probably have a trauma wound somewhere. you probably are dealing with something. It might be, it could be a daddy wound. It could be that you were molested at a young age and you don't even really recognize it, because let's be very, very clear. Older men weren't dealing with young women just to be having them on their arm. They was knocking them down.
Knocking them down.
Absolutely.
They was knocking them down. So y'all, I don't know, but I still see it though. I have a son in high school, so it's just like, I see these young girls and they'll skip over the nice young man that's in their grade for the freshman in college or whatever the case may be, or hell, even like a 20-year-old man. And it's just like, baby girl, you ain't gone. It's bad. Like I said, we definitely have to address the rape culture, because it's so relevant, but in so many various different shapes, forms, and fashion. Like, it's bad, man. It's bad.
Hey, yo, B, let them know where they can find you.
So I am Harlem B. Marie on Facebook, and I am The Interrupted Black Girl on Instagram.
Shazilla, holler at them.
Man, I am Rashad Ism, RashadIsm, on everything.
Facebook won't let me be The Interrupted Black Girl. They said it ain't.
Where's
my
Pete
real
Diddy?
Name.
Daryl, our executive producer.
People know where I'm at, man.
Holler at them. They know where you at. Hey.
I'm still tripping off of Daryl asking. Yeah, no, this is dope, man. Daryl asked if it was some white girls.
No. I'm dead serious. It just seemed like it was like one of those, like, y'all remember, what was the movie, Adventures in Babysitting? Remember that movie?
Yep.
I'm familiar. It seemed
like
that would be
like the number three, or like the third movie of the series or something. Like, girl, we end up meeting, I don't know. What was the dude's, I hope this is not these brothers. I'm just... That you were talking about, but I was thinking those two fat dudes from the Clumps. They used to call themselves the Heavyweights.
Yeah.
You know, the Heavyweights. We love them. We're gonna go see them at the at the arena, and they get there and they like, oh man, we these nice little young white girls, let them come on up, ain't nothing wrong.
Yeah, 20 years, no discussion, nice. Serving every yep. second.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, I'd say, shit, if a woman 30 or under, where your mom at? That's my
question. Yeah. I'm about to jump on the next episode. Y'all talk about that. Like, I couldn't date a woman, over under 30. I don't get it.
Huh? Man, boy.
You know, my girl is like 10 years younger than me, bro. Like.
Oh, you living that life. You living that life right now.
Do you mind?
Yeah. My girl's like 10 years younger than me. Hey, look.
I can't do it. Mm-mm. I've had like a young guy trying. He's been chasing me for years. He like just now maybe like 26, and then on the opposite end of the spectrum, I got like a 53-year-old. I'm just like, bro, no, neither one of y'all. Like, God, one is a granddad, man. The other is a kid. Like, go away from me with this. I can't do it.
Oh man, hey, look,
I want my girl probably listening, so I'm not gonna speak. So.
Hey, older women smell like she know how to make oatmeal cookies from scratch, and she gonna be asleep before 9:13.
Oh man, my girl,
she probably
girl
smell
up,
like
man.
White diamond. No thanks.
Hey,
there it is. Yo, I am Alan.
Vinegar baths.
And snap back.
Right. God damn. Thought you said you was fucking in 87. It's pussy time. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm tripping.
She's empty.
Straight out
nesting.
Of low cash. It's got me. I am removed from those days.
She empty nesting, bro. You got to pull up.
Jackie.
Hey.
Y'all done ain't a porno movie Empty Nest.
Hey, listen.
I'm at
a cold 50 back at Club Isis, boy.
Hey, y'all be sleeping.
Cold one.
Get y'all a grown ass woman, man.
Nope. The old man lost me when he was like, I'm too old to be, I'm too old of a cat to be fooled by a young kitten. Sir, what?
Oh, yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, I don't, you know, Storch Jeans and Conversion Van Chronicles. Yeah,
he's not the one. He's not the one. You need to get one of the old dudes to shave off all their facial hair so that the grays don't come through.
Right.
So, you know what? Wrap this
up. Looking like Kim.
Looking like Seal.
Your name, Harlem.
Hey, you said the dude Kim.
Then the other one want to play the game with my son all day. No, thank you.
No. Hey, yo, we are the commentary crew. You can find me at I Am Allen. I am A-L-L-E-N-E-Y-E on my social media handles. We're going to catch y'all on the next one, man. Y'all stay safe out there. If your local club venue is opening this weekend, stay home.
Stay home. Oh, we didn't even talk about that, but we'll talk about the body count next time, bro.
Because yeah, the clubs.
After the club is tonight. The after party, and the after party is the hospital lobby.
And on that note, I'm just going to remind y'all, ladies, quarantine still does not mean to be sharing dick, so stop calling that lady's husband.
Damn. Hey. And we're out.